Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast they call Comes Naturally. And as always, this podcast is brought to you completely free. So if you want to show any type of support whatsoever, we ask you to do a couple things. First, go to the Facebook page, like and share the Facebook page. Then follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is
at Comes Natural Pod.
Yes, it is. After you do that, you skip it on down to iTunes and you rate and review the podcast. Then you hit subscribe on the podcast, and that will help us a lot. And if you listen to us on an Android phone, I want you to help as well, but I don't know anything about Android phones. So, Cody, get this thing started off, right?
Comes Naturally, we are
Joe,
Mike,
and I'm Cody, and welcome to the show, guys. So our first thing we're going to do, Joe's going to look confused at his iPad. We're going to go into a little activity Mike wanted to do today. Mike, would you like to give the rules of this little activity we're about to go into?
Okay, so this spawned off of a conversation I was having about one of my single favorite performances in any movie. It just happened to have been performed by an actress.
A what?
As in an actor, but with boobies.
They have those?
Yeah. So I thought it would be an interesting topic to see if we could come up with our top five personal favorite female performances in movies. So your top five actresses, actual performance, not the actress herself, but the single performance in whatever movie it just happened to be. So you come up with your favorite one off of that, and we made a list, and we're going to proceed with our list. So how do you want to do it? Do you want to go around the table at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, or give all of them and talk about the list? What do you guys want to do?
Let's go around 5, then 4.
All right. Well, Cody, we'll get you started first.
Nope.
Pass.
No, you can't pass.
Yeah, I can.
Why?
You never said we can pass.
Well, I'm telling you now, I can't pass. I'm not ready. How are you not ready? You gave me so much shit.
I'm not ready.
Joe, go with your number 5.
I'll go. I'll go first.
Some bitch.
My list wasn't up on my computer, that's why. Number 5 for me.
Number 5.
It's Kathy Bates in Misery.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I forgot about that
one. She was terrifying.
Yeah. She was fucking psycho.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Then she got typecast as a psycho from then on.
Yeah, pretty much. Never really been a huge Kathy Bates fan, but it is one of the best female performances ever because she is this sweet lady at the beginning, and then, like, you see there's something wrong with her. And then just balls crazy, shattered his legs or his ankles with the 2x4 and the hammer, which is awful.
Yeah.
But this has that like dead faced craziness to her, like towards whenever she's talking to him, she's like, and she refers to like the stories as being real. Oh, it's so creepy.
It's played really well because it's almost like she almost believes that she's crazy.
Yeah.
Like Kathy Bates, you know, plays it really well. Like she spent some time in an insane asylum just to research her
Did
character.
Did she really?
No, I'm saying that.
Oh, I was
I'm
like,
saying
holy
that,
shit.
I'm saying that that's
crazy
what it felt
bitch.
Like.
So yeah, that's my number 5.
Joe?
Are we actually going to me?
Yeah. Yep. We're going to you this time. Unless Cody wants to give his number 4 first.
Nope.
I went with something a little bit more simple. I went with more of an iconic role, which would be Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow in the Avengers.
Oh.
And what I was really thinking about was there's no one else that I could see playing that role. She fits the character so well and is able to do, you know, everything that Black Widow's been able to do in the comic books pretty much. So yeah, that's why I went with number 5. It's kind of a simple one. There's not, you know, not a great performance that you have to put in for that type of role, but yeah,
she fits it really well.
Yeah,
I say her performance in Captain America 2 is probably her best as
of yet.
As of
yet.
Yeah. But it's nothing complex. It's not like, you know, Kathy Bates or probably anybody else on the list that I have. But, yeah, no, I just thought it was a really solid performance. Mike?
I'm getting so many replies. I sent this question out on text message to a handful of my friends, and they are fucking answering back, dude.
That's what you wanted, so.
Yeah, but I have, like 24 unread text messages right now in the last minute. Because one, Taj can't fucking decide, so he keeps throwing a bunch of fucking options.
Taj not make a decision?
Yeah, and everyone else is like, oh my god, that's hard to do right now. I think most of these people are at work right now, so they had to think on their feet a little bit. So I'm going to let those run through, and I'm going to give you my number five. And my number five is Jennifer Lawrence in American Hustle.
Okay.
I haven't seen that movie yet, but...
She, with a cast of actors and actresses like that, she completely stole the show. Like, every scene she was in, you were, like, pulled towards her. One, her character was fantastic, so it was really well written, obviously, like everyone else. But she brought something to it that was fantastic, and it was such a departure from what you're used to seeing her as, you know, as the heroic chick or if you watch the X-Men movies as a mutant.
Oh, I forgot about that. Or
the Hunger Games. You know, this is such a far turn for her. And she knocked it out of the park.
I did want to put her on my list, but that's all I could think of at the time. I didn't actually pull up her filmography. All I could think of was Hunger Games and Silver Linings Playbook, which was a good movie, but I don't think it was her.
She did good in that one, too.
Yeah, I just didn't really think it was a standout performance.
American Hustle, she was just fantastic in it. And that's what I did when I initially started thinking about this. I was like, all right, who are my favorite actresses? And I went down their list, which oddly enough, like a lot of my favorite actresses didn't make it, because there's a lot of people have that one single performance that kind of stand out for me. But yeah, so she killed it in that. And if you haven't seen it, you should definitely go see it. She's amazing in it.
I'll have to see if Netflix has it. I'll eventually, I think it does, eventually see it.
Actually. All right.
He won't watch it.
So that's a round of five.
Cody.
Number four. I have Jodie Foster in Silence of the Lambs.
Wow. Ooh, let's interject real quick. My friend Allie replied back with Jodie Foster from Silence of the Lambs.
Because she's smart.
And she is fucking spot on. Yeah. So congratulations, Allie. You win nothing, but we'll mention you as being smart on the podcast.
And I'll edit it out.
Thanks for listening. Text you later. If it does get edited out, I'll apologize. But you'll never know.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. But yeah, she came up with that one pretty quick too, so that's a good pull. So go ahead and talk about that performance.
She does an excellent job. She does have one of the best performances, because two parts stand out to me, and they're both parts where she portrays two different emotions. One is complete and utter terror, but also like heroism in it. The two scenes would be when she goes to first visit Hannibal Lecter in the asylum, and she, every time she walks by a cell, it's worse and worse, and obviously the one guy throws a comb full of cum on her, but like the sheer terror that she has when she's talking to him, and like that, because that monotone performance that Anthony Hopkins has. And then he goes right into, like, just being, like, super creepy, and she just loses that confidence, but then tries to build it back up, so like that. And the other scene is the one with Buffalo Bill, because she goes in, normal FBI agent, blah, 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 light shut off, fucking sheer terror. And then when it goes to the night vision scene of her, you can see, like, she looks scared.
Yeah.
So scared. And then she finally gets a drop on him, and pat, 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 and, you know, so. Jodie Foster, Silence of the Lambs. There you go.
You'd be surprised that she actually didn't make my list.
Not really. You've seen like seven movies, so.
I would swear that you guys would think that Contact would be on my list with Jodie Foster.
No, performance-wise, I wouldn't think that. Because, I mean, Contact, yes, you like that movie, but was her performance one of the best?
No.
Okay, that's why I didn't think it would be on your
list. All right, cool.
Now, if you said movies with female leads, I would say, well, Contact's going to be on his list because he loves Contact and she's a female lead, so boom. But performance-wise, I didn't think, though. But yeah, go ahead. What's your number four, Joe?
So with most of my list, it's no particular order except when you get to number one. Number four, I honestly think should be on all of our lists.
It's not.
is Mia Jovovich in Fifth Element.
Nope, it's not.
God damn you people.
That was one of many answers that Taj gave us. But he did narrow it down to one for a final
answer.
Did you
say Fifth Element or did you say Mila Jovovich?
It's funny you say that because the first one was just Mila Jovovich. I said, in what? He's all Fifth Element. I was like, all right.
Remember, you got to specify exactly with Taj because he won't answer the question the right way ever. And if he does, it won't give you the full answer. Be like, Mila Jovovich. And an hour later, Fifth Element.
You're like, you couldn't put those together? No.
Anyways, go ahead, Joe.
I chose it because just the way she acts in that movie is amazing. And the fact that she actually had to learn that language, that's a language that her and the director, I can't remember his name right now, came up with specifically for the movie. So she learned everything from it and just able to speak it so fluently in the movie. It's just absolutely amazing. And it's such a weird, like almost childish type of personality that she has. And it just boggles my mind about how that she'd be able to do something like that, like come up with that character. I mean, obviously, for the most part, it was written into the script, but you know, I'm sure she has some leeway into how it's acted.
It's true.
Yeah.
Plus, she's one. That's one of those performances where it's three different types of person. You know, like not just emotions, but like it feels like three different people you're playing.
Yeah.
Because you have the badass,
mm-hmm.
you have the little scared little girl,
mm-hmm.
and then you have the weird little excited about everything, like multipass,
yeah,
and that kind of stuff. You know.
Ooh, thank you.
Yeah. Like that sort of stuff. So it's interesting that kind of character, I would think, would be hard to play because you are doing so much, and and they're so different. It's not like. You're not playing in, like, when I say that, like, some people have played that, like, oh, playing early version of the character, and then, like, the middle of the movie, the character, she is that character, like, throughout the whole
and
thing.
And she kind of goes in and out of those different personalities, yeah. And that's exactly like why, exactly why I think it's one of her best, especially one of her best.
I agree with you.
Performances.
I agree with you.
Mike.
Number four, Michael.
Number four.
That comes right before five.
Right after five.
Three.
Ha-ha. This one's not going to be on your list, but fuck you guys. I love this. Whoopi Goldberg in...
Sister Act 2.
It better be Sister Act 2.
Not Sister Act 2.
Sister Act.
It's Sister Act / Ghost, because I thought she killed both of them. You did the same thing, number one. So.
No, what I was going to say is like...
If, gun to my head, though. I think I picked Sister Act.
Really?
You
don't like Ghost over Sister Act?
Well, I wasn't going to pick on you because it's two different movies because I did that and I warned you first. But
you didn't pick on him.
Such a
it's
weird like two
Whoopi
movies
Goldberg?
To choose from.
I think Whoopi Goldberg is a really good actress and I like both of those movies.
She was awesome. Next Generation.
That's what I was going to say actually, but she wasn't a lead really in it.
That's why I couldn't put her on my list in that.
Yeah.
So I figure she's the lead in Sister Act. She's like the second lead and
third lead.
Really? She's in it more than Demi Moore is.
Yeah, but she's not like, you don't get those. You don't get the long scenes with her like you do with Demi Moore.
But I don't care what anyone says. I love Sister Act and Ghost are both great. So, and I couldn't decide between the two. I think Sister Act's more fun.
It's definitely more fun.
I fucking hope you think Sister Act's more fun than Ghost.
Well, no, I think that's why I lean towards that one a little bit. And I think it'll probably change depending on what my mood is. But yeah, Whoopi Goldberg, Sister Act, and or Ghost. She's great in
depending if you want to cry or laugh until you cry.
Yeah. Harvey Keitel is in Sister Act, so.
It's true.
That might push that one over the edge. But then Swayze's in Ghost. We can go about this all day, people.
Neither of those are women.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. But
Swayze dressed up like a woman in Tu Wong Fu.
It's true. I love that movie. The movie's fantastic.
That was John Leguizamo's coming out party as an actor, man.
Don't ever say coming out as an actor. Like that's like different. There's a different meaning for that.
Do you have you guys? Do you like those ones or
no? I
think of Wesley
Snipes. I like
Snipes
Ghost,
and
I like.
Remember Wesley Snipes playing basketball against the other chicks, and he's just like dunking on them and shit.
Yeah,
so clearly not a chick. Yeah. Like
by far the ugliest one of the bunch. Terrifyingly, yeah. So that's your number four.
Yep.
Whoopi Goldberg in one of those two, whichever one someone wants to decide.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, it depends on what day it is, but it's one of those two.
All right. Fair enough. All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. So my number three is Uma Thurman in Pulp Fiction.
Ooh, very nice.
Simply because she's not in. I mean, she's in a lot of the movie, but it's not like her movie. But she does a fantastic job of being kind of a bitch in the movie. But also like the scene where she overdoses. Again, it just like it looks so real. Like you can overdose in a movie and blah, but she like the gasping for air and the choking, and then when they slam the adrenaline needle into her and she just pops up and she's just like, it's so fantastic.
She does amazing stunts in it. Well, if she does the stunts, actually, I should say.
I don't know if she'd like that, but a little bit, yeah. But yeah, she's fantastic in that, and just the when she tells the joke in it, how she like tells it like in this weird calm way, and like she knows it's not gonna be funny,
mm-hmm.
you know. Do you remember the joke?
No, I don't remember the joke.
Mike, do you remember the joke from Pulp Fiction?
I know the scene, and I'm spacing on the joke right now.
So a mom, a dad, and a son, Tomato, are walking down the street, and the son falls behind, and the dad gets getting pissed off, so he goes back and smashes the son and says, ketchup!
But yeah, I'm bummed.
That's why it wasn't exactly funny in there. But. So yeah, that was my number, Trace. Joseph, what was your number three?
My number three is going to be a little weird. I'm just going to come out and say it. It's Glenn Close, right? Weird, huh?
Fatal Attraction.
Not Fatal Attraction. It's actually not a movie that she did.
101 Dalmatians.
That was not her. That was Angelica.
The TV
show. No, that actually was.
Was that?
She was.
Oh, that's right. No, I was thinking Adam's Family.
And, yeah.
Adam's Family. Was
I know it because I went through her filmography.
Of course you did.
To make sure that. Anyway, so the TV show is The Shield.
Okay.
First off, I love that show.
We know.
And it was the show that really kind of sparked a lot of these Sons of Anarchy and the I don't even know what you would call that type of show, but
FX shows,
but I mean, you know, just the kind of like the anti-hero gritty TV shows.
Yeah.
She came on in season 3, I believe it was, to replace I don't remember the actor's name, but Captain Aceveda. Wow. Aceveda.
Yeah.
And when I heard that she was announced for that role, I was like, Glenn Close, really? She's going to come on to The Shield, a really gritty, you know, TV show and play the captain of all things? Like, I wasn't up for it. But then as the season went along, I was like, this is actually pretty amazing. She's putting in a really good performance here, something that, you know, in a role that I'd never seen her in before. So. That's my number three.
I'm looking it up. Hold on.
I'm not familiar with the show, so I can't speak on it very well.
I remember the captain's name.
It
Michael
the
Chiklis.
Original. No, that's Vic Mackey. That's the actor who played Vic Mackey.
His name's McMackey in it.
Vic Mackey.
Oh, I thought he was a McDonald's cop.
Her character's name, or
the actress who played the captain.
No, the original captain was it's something Aceveda. But I don't remember. It's not important that.
It doesn't matter. Whatever. Yeah. I was trying to remember because I can remember. I can picture the face, but I can't think of the actress's name. But go ahead.
Yeah. No, it's an actor. The original one was a guy.
I thought the first one was a chick, too.
No, it's a guy. You're thinking of the black detective, I think.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, because they had the two detectives.
That's right.
On the, yeah.
It's been a long time since
the last show.
Mike.
There's TV shows before you started watching TV. We realized that. Go ahead. And you're number three. Michael. No.
My number three is
not
guess?
Joe.
You guess?
Your number three is
that broad from Rocky.
Dolly Parton.
Nope. Sigourney Weaver in Aliens. It's my number three.
Only Aliens?
That was third?
Aliens. I picked Aliens.
Aliens?
Yeah. But if you want to group them all together because it's the same character.
Just one and two to me.
Yeah. Well, that's the only two that happen. According to Neil Blomkamp, some people,
yeah, and me. We're just gonna sweep the rest underneath the.
No, it was. There was only two.
There was only two. Yeah. Right.
There was only
no
two.
Sweeping
in that,
needed.
There was only two there in that quadrilogy.
Box is gonna go around and just collect everybody's three and four editions.
Well, they should start with some ones and twos. Also, go ahead.
Mike. Aliens is awesome. She was awesome.
Hands down. That's it.
That's it.
No, it's absolutely.
I mean, we've talked about that movie a shit ton on this podcast.
Well, wait, because Joe's. We know it's coming up on Joe's, and, so we'll.
Yeah, we know it'll be your number one. Spoilers.
It might not be.
It is. So the anticipation when that comes around is not going to be great.
When you whisper a secret, Joe, don't do it directly into the mic.
Oh, sorry.
Because it sounds less like a secret and more of you just being creepy. You just talk dirty to roughly a handful of people who probably going to drive off the road because of it.
Yeah, they liked it.
We're going to say thousands of people.
They liked it.
Well, no, I'm saying thousands a few people are going to drive off the road. Not like I don't want 1,000 people to die. Only a handful of people.
But he talked dirty to thousands of people. Downloads.
Yeah. What I'm saying, though, is think he talked positive. Dirty to a handful of people who then got unexplained erections into our wet seats and then drove off the road because they couldn't figure it out. That's what I was saying.
At least they died happy.
But of the other thousands of people who listened,
weren't driving,
they weren't fine.
Yeah,
some of them had to go finish themselves off, but, you know, whatever. So, yeah.
But yeah, like I said, we talked a shit ton about that movie. She was great in it. She's been really good in a lot of stuff, actually.
Mm-hmm. Paul?
Okay.
Oh, I haven't seen Paul yet.
Oh, my
God. I know. I know.
So,
I've been meaning to
spoiler
see
spoiler alert, she dies.
Oh.
I'll give you three guesses. I'll give you three different death scenes. You choose which one she was. Shot in the head by an alien, smashed by stairs, or run over by an RV.
I'm going to say all of them.
I said one of those three.
I was just going for a...
No, I didn't say choice D, all the above.
D, all the above. She was run over, I bet.
No, smashed by stairs.
Okay. Fair enough. How do you get smashed by stairs? So I guess I'll have to watch it.
The alien ship comes down the stairs whoosh, and smash her right before she can shoot Paul.
Oh.
It's pretty spoiler. Funny, actually.
Yeah, I love that movie.
It's almost what happened to her in Cabin in the Woods, except it wasn't stairs, it was a werewolf, but still.
Not as cool as the fucking merman.
Yeah.
Creepy motherfucker.
Oh, finally get to see one.
Ugh, it's so creepy.
And then the blood starts going out the back of it.
Out of the dorsal fin? Or dorsal...
It'd be the whole thing.
Yeah.
Number two.
Peace.
Number two.
Number two.
Cody Sullivan.
Runamari, the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Oh, I forgot about her. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the best performances by a female actress, or female actor of any type in any movie ever. Very close to my number one, because again, number one for me is two different performances from different movies by the same actress, so that's why she got number one. But Rooney Mara was hard fucking core in that movie. Not only did she get real piercings for the movie, she actually shaved her head that way, lost all that weight, and ended up getting a real tattoo.
I will
just
admit,
so she knew how the tattoo machine would work when she's tattooing that dude in the apartment.
Is this the one from the European version?
No, it's the Americanized version.
Yeah, okay. I couldn't remember because I remember there was a European version, which they've done all three movies over there, right?
Yes.
But we've only gotten the first one yet here.
That's and we're probably not getting the other two.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
That was a really good movie.
It was a really good movie.
Yeah.
Daniel Craig's busy.
Shooting Bond.
Yeah. Well, hopefully not shooting Bond. They got another movie in this contract. Oh, I meant... Oh,
no, he liked it.
Like, he liked you did there.
On film.
So she was tremendous in it. She transformed into a different person, really. Like, if you see her in real life or in any other movie, and then you see her in that, you're like, well, first off, you're lying to me. That's not the same person. But she's so good in that movie because of the transformation she did go through for it. But she's so fucking creepy. Like, when she attacks that dude... and then shoves the metal dildo up his ass, and then tattoos on him. Like, she's so fucking at peace with it.
Wow, I just remembered I suppressed, like, a lot of that movie now.
I love that movie.
That's right. That guy got like raped in the ass anymore. With the dildo.
Yeah. No. And then she left it in there, too.
And then she left it in there, yeah. And she like left him tied up as well. Oh, my God, that was horrible.
Yeah, it was awesome. And then she fucking hits Stargard with the fucking... like pipe or golf club, right? Yeah, golf club. Just fucking right in the teeth. Oh, it's fantastic. Spoiler, she hits a guy in the face with a golf club. So
major plot point.
Mainly because I told you who the bad person was.
Yeah.
So boom, if you watch it and you haven't seen it already, go fuck yourself because that is ruined it for you. You're welcome.
All right. Joe.
Your number two.
My number two is Natalie Portman in Black Swan.
Very nice.
Yeah. Speaking of characters that go through a giant transformation and get super creepy and weird, that's exactly what she does in this movie. And goddamn, does it get, it gets to the point, obviously, if you haven't seen the movie, she starts basically hallucinating that she's turning into a black swan. Like, she's picking feathers out of her. You have these parts of the movie where you're not really sure if it's real or not, or if it's her imagination. It's fucking creepy. And God, I didn't realize, I was actually reading through the synopsis of it on Wikipedia, and they described it as a horror movie. And I'm like, I guess I can see it. I just didn't really think
there's
about
a murder in it.
There was what?
There's a murder in it.
Well, kind of a murder.
Yeah.
She kills herself.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
She kills the other, her other self.
That's true. Yeah. And that's the whole conflict here. You have, you know, she starts out as the good ballerina because, and I've honestly never watched the actual Swan Lake, but the way I understand it is, it's the white swan.
Yep.
And slowly becomes the black swan.
Yep.
But Natalie Portman's character, in trying to portray it, was really good at the white swan, which is the good one, but had like trouble with the black swan, trying to dance with that. And that was her transformation with Mia Kunis.
Yep.
Was trying to learn how to be the black swan, and she just fucking goes crazy trying to become it. And when she finally does on that opening night, and just what, she launches herself off the back of the stage, which she's supposed to do, and quote unquote kill herself, actually kills herself
because she stabbed herself in the gut with the glass from the mirror.
Yeah.
Yep.
So fantastic. Absolutely one of her best performances.
That's
ever.
Her best performance
ever,
for sure.
Yeah,
not one of, I mean, the only one that comes close is V for Vendetta.
That's true.
But
Black Swan, way better. So that's my number two, Mike. What's yours?
Yeah, Natalie Portman, Black Swan.
Is it?
Yep.
Oh.
So, you guys just heard all about it.
Hey, here's a big fuck you. Guess what my number one is? Natalie Portman and Black Swan and V for Vendetta.
Ah, fuck you.
Yeah.
All right. We had more crossover on this list than I thought we would have had. So we basically, you want to talk about V for Vendetta a little bit? Since we didn't really get into that.
V for Vendetta, she's in another movie where she transforms.
Can you tell
she plays...
why we're friends?
Because some of us like Glenn Close. Some of us don't like Starship Troopers.
I never said.
It's a piece of shit.
I don't like it. I don't like it as much as other people. It's not that good.
This fucking guy. Swear to God. Drinks from people's drinks, puts his fucking hands in their straws.
That was another very good performance by Natalie Portman in V for Vendetta.
Because she does, she makes the a transformation you don't really expect out of her in the movie too. Where she goes from this very like normal everyday female, like just normal girl, to like the head of a vigilante group essentially. Like, because at one point you think, oh, like, she's just going to be there, like, you know, like, whatever. And then she, like, joins into it. Like, she goes dressed up as the sexy little girl that goes to the room, and then he comes in and, you know, kills the guy. And then when she shaves her, and they shave her head, and she goes through that. And then the part where she goes out in the rain and she's fucking screams is, like, that is...
The part that got me was that the like, week or so that she spends in that quote-unquote prison cell...
Oh, yeah, she's going slowly insane.
Yeah.
Right after he shaves her head.
Yeah.
Or they shave her head.
Yeah.
They shave her head. He does it, tricking her to think that she's in the prison.
But it's that transformation that she finally, that final transformation that she goes through where she suddenly realizes, you know, this is who she's supposed to be, you know, helping V out and starting the revolution. So, yeah, very good pick as well. I didn't really think of her in that role. I mean, her other big roles, I was thinking Star Wars, which was good, but, I mean, not like...
Garden State.
Fantastic. Yeah, Garden State. Yeah, she is.
She's fucking insane.
There's another standout. There's another... She's all around. Natalie Portman's actually a very good actor. Oh, Thor. That's who I was trying to think of as well, you know, which is a very good, you know...
Hey, she's one of the best ones going right now.
Professional.
Yeah.
Yeah,
dude, that was her first one too, right? Yeah. She knocked that shit out of the park, man.
Yeah.
Just holding the gun. Does she shoot him? Doesn't she shoot him? What happens? We'll never know because that sequel's never going to fucking happen.
Nope. All right.
Gee, Joe, what's your number one?
My number one, I personally think, is like the greatest heroine of all time.
I love heroine.
I'm a big heroine.
Oh, heroine.
Heroine, as in a hero, but a female version.
Gotcha.
That's Ellen Thor. Ellen Ripley, which she might as well be female Thor.
She needs to be buffer.
We'll turn her into female Tony Stark because she just like, let's tape two things together and
let's wear an ecto suit and throw a giant alien out of a spaceship.
Exactly.
Out of the butthole of a spaceship, no less.
Which happens to be
get that out of the spaceship.
As we all know, Sigourney Weaver. Yeah. And so Alien/Aliens, because it's the same character that carried over. Like we said earlier, we're just kind of sweeping the other.
I give Aliens a slight edge over Aliens.
Because the action.
See, I love the horror aspect of it because to me, you really see like how good of an actor is if they can display horror very well. And she absolutely just knocked it out of the park in Aliens.
She does that a lot in Aliens too, though.
Yeah,
before she gets the gun and stuff,
right? But it's still she's still surrounded by Marines, and it's still
it's a safer situation,
is what I'm saying. Yeah,
she's good, and she's been getting a lot of stuff too. We talked about some of the, you know, like her very small part but pivotal in Cabin in the Woods, Avatar,
Chappie.
She's good in.
Going to be coming back for the Neil Blomkamp Alien. Whatever they end
Alien
up calling
3.
It. Alien 3.
Because there's no such thing as an Alien 3 yet.
Yep.
Aliener.
Aliens.
Aliens 3. 3.
With a vengeance.
Maybe it'd be Aliens 2.
No, because I said Prometheus 2 and you guys like looked at me like I was dumb or something.
Yeah.
Because you can't call it Prometheus.
Were you making a Look Who's Talking reference?
We talked about that way too much last time on the podcast, so we're not going to mention that. All right, so we talked about that movie quite a bit. It's good though.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, what's your number one?
All right, you fuckers will never guess it because it's a personal favorite.
Dolly Parton.
No Dolly Parton.
You're lying sack of shit. He changed it on us.
Yeah, he did.
I didn't.
Okay, what's your number
one? My personal favorite performance by an actress is Marissa Tomei in My Cousin Vinny.
Okay. All right. I'd go as Oscar, but My Cousin Vinny's good, too.
Fantastic. Every time I watch it, it's one of those movies, every time I watch it, and I've seen it way too many times, but every time I watch it, I'm like, I thoroughly enjoy the parts with her in it so much. And I'm not a Marissa Tomei fan, per se. Like, I don't really give a fuck about anything else she's done. Like, she's done other cool stuff, but I don't really care that much. Like, I'm not gonna go see a movie just because she's in it. So it seems weird for me, but after thinking about it, I was like, this is it. She's great. She's like that weird, one of my least favorite things in all the movies and or TV shows is people complaining.
Oh.
So if people just complain a lot, I tend to start hating that character.
It gets annoying.
And this sounds sexist, but when women in movies or TV shows start complaining a lot, it usually seems like the same kind of stuff that they're complaining about in movies. It's not on the actress. That's just how
it's on the writing.
That's how women are portrayed in movies.
Yeah.
Marissa Tomei and My Cousin Vinny complained a shit ton, but she's so goddamn fantastic at it that you just start loving her so much where you're just like, yeah, fucking Joe Pesci, listen to her. Like, it's the best
it's
performance.
That, it's that, what, like that bubblegummy New Jersey type of accent
she's so fucking cocky, but she's so smart, and, like, she's got, like, that swagger about her when she's going, she's talking to the judge. And, like, at the end of the movie when the light bulb kicks on or what Joe Pesci's trying to get to and she kind of realizes it and she lights up. Like, there's not a lot of movies where you didn't, like, you see that in everyday life, you know, from time to time. You see somebody light up when they get something. That's hard to portray in a movie because you know that part's coming, so it's hard to kind of play it off. Or she does it so fucking well, dude.
She does.
And people give shit because she won an Oscar for that movie.
Did she?
She totally fucking deserved it, dude. She, hands down, more performances like that deserve Oscars. So she's amazing in it. It's my favorite performance by an actress, hands down.
The more you know. I didn't know that she won an Oscar for that performance. Yeah.
Yeah, like NBC.
I don't know if they do that, but yeah.
Is that the tone?
No, I don't.
Not really.
That's close enough. And then when I do the real one, I get sued.
Yeah, because...
For stuff they don't play anymore?
Executives.
Yeah. Hey, we showed this. That 15-ish years ago. Where's our money?
Rights.
First off, statutation of limitations or something.
I really thought
you were going to say statutory rape. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, he statutory raped that theme song. What are you going to do about it? Yeah,
that theme song is only 17 years old. And he fucked it.
And every hole.
Put like that.
Yeah, it sounds bad. Did. I should get sued for that. But yeah, that's my numero uno. And the part where she's yelling at him about like everything, and she's like, she says, "My biological clock is ticking like this," and she starts stomping her foot. Dude, I have to pause the show every time that part comes up. I just laugh so hard. The movie. I have to pause the TV every time that part comes on. It's so good.
It is. It's a phenomenal role. I think so, yeah.
The whole movie is fantastic.
The whole movie is fantastic. Pairing like, everyone did a
good part in it.
With, what's his
Joe
name?
Pesci.
Joe Pesci?
Yeah, Leo Getz.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
So, the two yeah. what?
Two youths.
Which youths. I'm thoroughly convinced that's how Tom learned English, is by watching Joe Pesci talk and My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah. Tom could have been Joe Pesci and My Cousin
yeah,
Vinny.
Just less fun.
New Jersey education is just sitting them in front of the TV Joe to watch
Pesci movies.
Okay. Today we're going to watch My Cousin Vinny. Shut your fucking mouths. Watch the TV.
That explains why they all sound the same.
Yep.
One of the other things, if I'm not 100%, I'm double checking it, but that movie is rated R, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not. It doesn't feel like a rated R.
It's the language.
But rated R gave them the freedom to not have to... Okay, we have to cut that back.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, it came naturally. Weird. It just seemed to flow like it was supposed to, and they didn't worry about getting that PG-13 rating for the extra money.
Unlike a lot of R-rated movies nowadays, they just do raunchy shit because they are going to be rated R, and yeah. doesn't actually add to the
it's
movie
a, Yeah, it's weird because it's a rated R movie that very easily could be PG-13. But
they said, you know what?
To cut down
Fuck
dialogue,
it.
And they wanted it to sound organic and natural. So it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that ends the list.
Yep.
Do we have anything for news or anything else we want to talk about?
Oh, wait. I got to go through the text replies that I got.
Oh, yeah.
So
we had your one friend
name
with Jodie Foster.
Winner.
And then Taj was something.
My buddy Taylor, who after originally replying with that one porn star, and I was like, no, dude, like theatrical releases only. He said, I haven't seen this movie, but Kelly Preston in For the Love of the Game.
Okay.
It's very specific. I haven't seen the movie,
Kevin Costner one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He came out with that like super fast, so it must be really good. So Taylor, thank you for participating. Allie, again, she came up with Jodie Foster in Silence of the Lambs, which, spoilers, Allie, you win. That's the best one that got brought up.
Taj, you suck. You lost to a girl.
Taj ended up not going with Fifth Element, ended up going with...
Wait. First off, how many times did you change his mind?
Oh, do you want me to read all of them?
Yes, because there's at least three changing of his mind, right?
There probably is.
At least three.
Yeah, she's always got four.
Yes. It told you at
he's
least
got
three.
Fifth Element. He's got...
When Brakes Were Pumped?
Julianne Moore in Evolution, but that one was all about LOL.
Well, first...
Then he goes, maybe What's Her Face from Hannah? And I go, pick one.
What's Her Face from Hannah?
Yeah.
I'm guessing he's talking about fucking Saya, whatever Bravo name is.
So,
that was a good
point. So he ended up going with Hit Girl from Kick-Ass. Which... Okay. That's pretty good.
It's actually pretty good.
She knocked that. She's a hell of an actress, too. If she doesn't go crazy like most of the child actors do, she's going to be a big, big star.
Speaking of her as a child actress, I was also thinking, it popped into my head for a second, the little girl from Poltergeist. I'm pretty sure that's the only movie that she did.
It was like the girl from Aliens, the only movie she did.
Yeah. But then it got me thinking of, like, how do you cast a little girl or just a child for a movie like that?
Weird, right?
Yeah, and then like the movie It as well. I know it requires a bunch of children, and it's like, how do you like, okay, we hired you and you're going to be talking to ghosts this whole entire
time. That's the thing, though. Like,
scare you.
That's what can make or break a movie. Is just child actors, because child actors a lot of times are awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they could really kill scenes.
Yeah. And that, and like, Stand By Me.
And it's not
Me.
Their fault. Like,
they're young.
You don't expect kids to be good at something like that. That is a fairly hard thing to fucking do when you want to do it convincingly.
Yeah, exactly. Because they don't have references. They don't understand references of other people's lives and stuff. Like, adults can look and know. Look at someone, they can follow someone in real life. Like, I want to learn the. How it is to be a baseball player. An adult can go and follow a professional baseball player and capture and know what's going on because they have life experiences to fall back on. But kids, they just don't have that because they're not alive very long. But they also don't have the capacity to understand what is happening, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I'm just getting at the whole, you know, like, how do you cast somebody, a little kid, for a scary movie?
Yeah,
to
Joe's part.
You know, how do you, we're going to, you know, scare you with this giant alien
type thing. Yeah, the scary movie ones seem like probably the hardest, because you can tell a kid, like, your job is just to be cute in this movie.
Right.
Just say cute things and be a kid. You know what I mean? Because some kids are just like that.
Yeah.
So you have less of a chance of a kid fucking that up. Then you throw a kid into a scary movie and you have to explain to him, okay, these monsters aren't really monsters, but you're going to have to act like they're really monsters. You're going to have to act like really fucking scared of them. You're going to cry, you know? Like you have to literally...
They mostly come out at night.
Just to not
mostly.
Tell the kid that it's a guy in the shoe and just let them scare the shit out of the kid. But that's child abuse.
That is.
And so you can't do that.
They probably could get away with that in the 60s.
Yeah, not anymore.
Maybe the 70s. Not anymore.
Yeah. But yeah. And the last text reply that we're going to mention, it's not a good one. It's from Chris Furman. He said Scarlett Johansson in Don John.
Really?
And I was like...
At first, when you started that, I thought he was going to say Lucy, and I was going to reach through your phone and slap him.
I would have... He could have said Captain America, too.
No, because did you see Don John? She was a bitch, and she's a convincing bitch in that.
Yeah, I mean,
was it a good performance?
Yeah, she was. It was a good performance by her. I mean, it's not a. I mean,
but for him to come up with like that's the only one who can come up, he must have just watched it. Chris, did you just watch it?
just watched
admit
it.
Admit it.
He just watched it.
Yeah, he just jerked off to.
Okay.
So that's what you were hitting at, right?
No, not at all. I don't know why you would say that, Mike.
And then a couple other people, they're like, oh, I don't know. So, you know, I'm not going to mention
it. Oh, it's real hard. I don't understand this.
Fuck you, other friends that couldn't commit to an answer.
Yeah, go
so,
fuck you.
So, yeah, congratulations, Allie. You had the best answer
out of all of
them. Taj ended up with a pretty good one after actually giving a top five, which I didn't ask for.
75 fucking ones.
And Furman, not so much. Taylor, I don't know that movie, but I'm sure it's good.
I'm surprised you haven't seen the movie. It's a baseball movie.
Yeah, no, it just came out in like 99, though.
Oh, God. You were, what, 4?
14.
I was close.
13.
Were you really that young back then?
Because he's fucking a kid. Damn.
It's a penny, or 12 or 13, apparently, when it came out. Probably 12. Yeah. Anyway, so that's our top five, ladies and gentlemen.
Mostly ladies.
Get to
well, actually, here's ladies. Some. So,
I saw. Wait, hold on. We were at Best Buy today, and I saw a washer that says, "We handle the biggest loads." And I laughed a lot. Like in my head, I was just like, "That's the funniest washer in the world because it handles the biggest loads." And then someone saw me laughing, and I had to act like I was writing a funny joke on my phone because
that was really funny.
Because I was like, "No, big loads."
Yeah, get it? Loads.
You just take a picture
like
come that sign.
So you said to the lady in public,
"Yeah,
like, no. Ma'am, look, we like
loads, you know, like."
On your face, like a load, all on your face, neck, and chest. Because that's what I do.
Sorry. I won't interrupt with a cum joke this time.
In college, Mike was known as Wet Load.
That joke's on you. I didn't go to college.
I meant last week when you were at a college.
Oh, yeah.
And it's because he never could do his laundry right. He'd always take his clothes out of the washer, and there was never a dryer available, so he was always known as Wet Load.
Yeah.
Ba-dum-bum. I made that joke up just now.
That's good.
I can tell.
Shut your fucking mouth.
What was the thing you said earlier? I asked you how you did something. You said you had balls made of magic.
Balls of magic, yes.
Balls of magic. Yeah.
What?
We'll get to them in a minute. Yeah. Why brother?
He has balls of magic, though. But I cannot confirm or deny.
You can confirm.
They're very magical.
They are. They're what myths are made of.
I'd imagine they're sparkly.
A little bit. Not like Twilight.
It's vampires. Not like Twilight. Because he teabags a lot of strippers. That's why they're sparkly.
Yeah. I never wash them. So,
well, to be fair, if you teabag a stripper, you don't want to wash them for a while. You want to have that proof.
Yep, like, guys, look, oh my God, why does it smell like that?
Why is a disco ball hanging from your dick?
Yeah.
Hit the light just right.
Of things. Move on. We actually have some questions on our Twitter account from people.
Oh, nice. Let's hear them.
So two of them come from Clint. First off, why do superhero villains create such elaborate deaths for superheroes, then walk away? Are they just that busy?
It's because deep down, they don't want to win.
It's true.
That's the key. You can't be a supervillain if there's not a superhero.
Because then you're just a maniac.
Then you're just some guy that's eventually going to take over the world. That's no fun. Mm-hmm. So the thrill of a supervillain is to be able to one-up the superhero.
I think they summed it up nicely in The Dark Knight Rises. The Dark Knight.
I thought you were going to say Mystery Man.
No, The Dark Knight.
He zap him in the chair.
Right at the end, or towards the end, when the Joker's hanging up by Batman's cable thing. And he says, you know, I don't want to kill you.
Because you're just damn fun.
You're too damn fun. We're destined to do this forever.
And then he died in real life.
And then he died in real life.
Got to see the sequel that was supposed to happen.
It's true. Way to bring us down, Mike.
But superheroes, a lot of times, are defined by their supervillains. And I guess you could probably do it reverse. The supervillain is a lot of times defined by the superhero.
Yeah, Batman just wouldn't be as cool without the Joker.
Honestly not.
And Joker doesn't work for Superman because Superman's fucking, you know, Superman.
Yeah.
Flick him in the head and done.
So there's your answer, Big Red.
So here goes the second question, which leads in perfectly. How would you kill Superman, and can it be done without kryptonite?
Without kryptonite, I can't think of anything else in the comic books. I mean, there probably is. I mean,
you could enslave him forever, but you can never kill him.
Okay.
So what you do is you take him somehow. You have to come up with an elaborate trap.
Wasn't there
And you have to get him away from a sun. The furthest you could be away from any sun, right? You do the math.
Yellow sun.
Yellow sun. You get him as far away from that as you could possibly go. And you put him in a giant, giant lead trap, basically. Super thick to the point where he's got no powers. He's drawn down and he's just there forever. And you never let anyone come near it. But the only problem with that is eventually someone's going to come across it, open it up, find a Superman that they think is dead, but we all know from the death of Superman, his heartbeat is just super fucking slow.
Flashpoint. Wasn't that in Flashpoint?
Well, Flashpoint, how they did it is when he was a kid, instead of going to Ma and Pa Kent, he went to a government agency and they threw his ass in a lead cell as a kid. So he never really learn to develop any of the powers or understand them.
Right.
He never had them because he never was exposed to this.
So when he got out for the first time, he didn't know what to do, and he was like a giraffe trying to walk.
I just remember him being all anemic, and it was just creepy looking.
So assuming you're dealing with an actual Superman that knows his powers, you have to get him away from the yellow suns.
Yeah.
You have to put him in a giant lead box, and you can never, ever let anybody in there.
I want to say, because you mentioned something about mind control. I don't remember if it's in the comic books. I remember it was in one of the Justice League episodes where they had like the weird starfish type things that could grapple on and control somebody's mind. So on that front, one of them attached to Superman, and he was this giant super dick essentially. So whether you could
bust you out my super sperm. Oh,
obviously
sorry,
you couldn't kill him because he's still Superman at that point. But if you could control him and do Mike's thing, you could probably actually kill him doing that.
Do Mike's thing, hooker and blow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Puts him blow.
Puts him blow.
So after you do that,
but
then
I don't think you could truly ever actually kill him.
You would think
without kryptonite.
But you don't think it, you know, isolating him from his power source, which is the yellow sun.
I don't think it would ever.
You don't kill. Think you could actually just, you know, eventually just stab him and just be like done with it?
No.
No?
I don't think so.
You could go Grant Morrison's way and somehow filter out the yellow sun and make it red, which means he makes him mortal like he is on Krypton.
Yeah.
Because on Krypton, they don't fly around and stuff. They're like regular people because their sun is red, and the radiation from the red sun does not give them any superpowers. So when Lex Luthor found a way to do this, he made the sun turn red and radiation was from the red sun. He slowly drained his powers, and eventually he would get to a point where he would be able to be killed because he'd be mortal. He could just walk up and shank his ass and wait for him to bleed out, snap his neck, chop his head off, do whatever you want to do, like you would kill an old person, hit him with a cement truck, whatever you want to do.
That's how I would kill an old person.
Old person?
You said old person.
Normal person.
You said old person.
I said normal, but
you
I'm
said
drunk.
Old person.
But
so, yeah, so
that would be the that would be one of the ways to do it, according to Grant Morrison.
It didn't work. Way though, easier with kryptonite, though, guys.
It would be way easier.
Just
it
get
has
the kryptonite
been,
before you try to
has
kill
been
him.
Way easier.
Again, problem is later in life he became immune to it.
Yeah, but
yeah, we're talking
he's
about
not immune
we're
yet.
Saying at one point in time he still
cut his fucking head off with a kryptonite sword.
Dude, a kryptonite sword would be badass.
Be super fragile though.
Nah, man.
You'd be super quick with it.
Yeah, not like a big, you know, Hercules sword. Like a agile, quick, like, you know, like the 13th
well,
warrior.
Chop through
like
though.
A katana?
Yeah,
like
yeah
a short...
it's got a good, and plah, right through his fucking dumb super head.
Yeah, it's super mean all of a sudden.
I'm just saying, if I want to figure out how to kill him, I got to get into like
yeah,
that frame
yeah.
of mind.
All right. I think that
like
sums
a
that up.
Superhero profiler. Killing
yep.
profiler.
That was
that show
a
profile?
I do remember that show profile.
Me too.
Profiler.
Profiler. The
yeah,
profiler.
Profiler.
Came on right after The Pretender.
I love The yeah. Pretender.
Then you had The Closer.
Jared was the shit. Don't ever bring up The Closer. The Closer was awful.
Jared would learn how to be great at something in a week. And then
sometimes less than that.
Nah. Sometimes, yeah, he'd be great at two things in one episode.
Be like, oh, you're fucking so smart. Off. Yeah. How about you quit being a dick, Jared? Can you learn that in less
what
than
was
a
his
week?
Brother's name? The crazy one?
I can't remember. I always like,
he was cool because he used to type on two computers at the same time.
Yeah. He always reminded me of the bad guy from MacGyver, too.
Probably was.
Yeah.
Probably not, though.
I love MacGyver.
But thanks, Clint.
Yep.
Yeah, thanks,
for
buddy.
For the Twitter questions.
And if anyone else wants to add, have us answer their questions, you can submit them via Facebook and or Twitter.
Yeah. Do you want to get into our adventure?
So, as you're listening to this on the off the internets,
if you're listening to it on Friday,
if you're listening to the day it comes out, which is Friday, the 20th, the three of us will be on an adventure the next day, Saturday the 21st, headed to glorious Santa Monica.
That's in California.
That is in California. Good job, Mike. Your geology is awesome, like normal.
My geometry is on point today.
Yep. He studies plants. So we will be going to meet up with a few guys, a few gentlemen, and at a get together for Darby Pop, which is an imprint from IDW Comics. We talked a little bit last week that I wrote a small blurb that's got a couple extra really nice comments. Thank you guys about that. About a comic book called Doberman. You can read more of it on the Facebook page as well as the Tumblr page. But we are going to Santa Monica to the release party for the trade paperback release of Doberman, and we will be sitting down with the writers and creators to talk to them about their about Doberman as well as that's just their lives in general for the podcast. So that will happen this weekend, and it'll most likely be up either the following Friday or the Friday after, depending on logistics and everything like that. But it will be up very soon. So that's a big adventure for us,
and that's big for us. And we're gonna reach out to all of you via this podcast right now, and also we're going to reach out to as many of you personally as we can. We need a lot of ears on that podcast. As many downloads as you guys could help us out with, that would be awesome. because we really want that one to be a good one. And hopefully this can lead to more of a steady stream of, you know,
special guests,
some people, you know, cool in the comic world, some artistic people, some creative people that I think you all would like to hear from. And this next one's probably going to be more of an interview form, but if we ever get them on again, we'll do what we usually do with them. You know, have them partake in some of our silliness and list and whatnot, and then just shoot the shit like we like to do. But hopefully we can knock this one out of the park. It's going to be fun. It's exciting. But yeah, should be cool.
So yeah, that's the big news for the show, guys. So stay tuned for that one. Should be not, maybe, like I said, maybe not next episode, episode after. Again, depends on how the release happens.
But yeah, release it.
Because it's not solely up to us.
This might be wishful thinking, but we don't know who's going to be there. So hopefully maybe we could lock down a little bit more than just what we're going there for. Which would be cool.
Awesome.
Which would be amazeballs. So yeah, that's the biggin. That's the big news.
Yeah. Joe.
Joe's not going to work for this. That's huge.
Right? Weird, huh?
Yeah. Weird.
If anything, I would have guessed that wouldn't be a thing that's happening.
I was actually more worried about school than work. I was just like, I have homework that's due on Monday.
You get that shit done by Friday.
We have a long drive, so.
So yeah, I'll be able to try and do it.
And you can sit in the back of the truck.
Oh yeah.
With the wind.
Wait.
Like in the bed.
Like
in the truck.
Yeah, we have equipment we have to bring with us, so it has to be safe.
Oh.
Sorry. I called shotgun.
Is there at least a tarp that you can throw over it?
Damn
it.
Yeah, shitty old blanket that my dog lays on, though.
We give you a bungee
Your
cord.
Your dog doesn't shed, though. If you would have said, like, Cody's cats, I'd have been like, no. No. I don't want to be a furry by the time I get to California.
Too late.
Because I'd end up all hairy.
Yeah.
All right. So was there any big news this week?
Not really.
Yeah, there really was.
Disney wants J.J. Abrams back for 44 minutes. For Star Wars Episode 9.
Wants who back?
Disney wants J.J. back for Episode 9.
Who wouldn't want J.J. back?
So that's kind of exciting news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because apparently they're super excited about Episode 7.
Everyone wants J.J. back except for Fox.
I don't care. Nobody cares about Fox.
Why Fox?
Because they didn't make Almost Human Season 2.
He only produced it, though.
Yeah, still.
Fair enough.
J.J. Abrams produces something, you should air it. Yeah. You cocksucking motherfuckers.
Yep.
But yeah, 5 hours and 44 minutes for right now.
That's how long this episode's going to be, so hold tight, kids.
386 miles to our adventure destination, and hopefully we don't have to stay at a Get Stab Hotel 5.
Nope, we're upgrading.
To the
Motel 6.
Maybe not. Ooh, get that Motel 6.
A whole nother number.
I would like to find La Quinta.
You can fucking do yourself. We haven't got the full address of where we're going, so I can't really narrow down a hotel yet. I was looking at general prices around that area, and they're not that bad. So, plus, we're not going to be in Arizona for 2 days, so that's fucking nice.
Oh, yeah. Weather's going to be so nice. I mean, the weather actually today was pretty nice, but...
And unless you're out in the middle of the day, sitting in traffic... Because people wanted to go watch a baseball game and don't know how to fucking drive.
That's true. That happens.
Well, yeah.
Hey, we have a 3-lane road here. A lot of people going in one direction. Let's close it all down except for one lane. Sound good? Okay. Fuck is wrong with you people?
Sound good.
Anyways. So otherwise, news-wise, there's not a whole lot this week.
Did we ever mention that Marvel's not going to be at San Diego Comic-Con this year?
Still rumored that Marvel will not be there.
I think it's a bullshit fake out. They're going to come with something big.
No, what if, I was thinking about this yesterday.
I just don't think they're going to do Hall H. Marvel's going to be there, but
yeah,
they're not going to be.
Marvel Comics is going to be there.
Yes,
Marvel
exactly.
Movie, like the Marvel Pictures is probably not going to be there.
Yeah.
Just because Disney is having the D23 conference the next month, which is in August, the month after it, which means they're going to be more present there. So I don't think you're going to see as many movie announcements that you would have seen in Hall H, because A, they can't control what is seen and when it's seen,
yeah.
But also they can control how it's done too. Hall H is a fucking nightmare. If you've ever been to San Diego Comic Con, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't been, imagine a room that holds 5,000 people, but there's a line of 25,000 people that want to get into it.
And that line started about 5 days before
the first day ever opened.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Speaking of Comic-Con, real quick, I want to put this out in the world. So if anybody listening has any say in the matter, we want to host a panel at the Phoenix Comic-Con, or at least be featured somehow.
Be interesting.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
However you guys want to make it work, but make your voices heard. We want to be a part of Phoenix. We will be there no matter what the whole time.
Yeah.
But we want to do something as the podcast, and I'm putting it out in the world because, you know what?
Imagine the three of us just having like a sit-down conversation in front of everybody with like Nathan Fillion or...
Yeah, you might be setting your sights a little high.
Yeah, Joe, I was thinking more of like, you know...
I am definitely shooting high there. I know that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it'd be cool.
But yeah, just, I mean...
Joe's shooting from the hip, yo.
That's usually how I do it.
Another cum joke.
Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, that's a thing we want to do. So we'll pursue it more somehow in the future. But like I said, just putting it out in the universe so it can happen.
I will say this to you two, as well as everyone listening.
You two's here?
No, you two's.
Oh, you two's. Gotcha. Yeah. I didn't hear the
You two
utes. Jesus. Yeah, you two. Well, you two ute, because there's only one of us young.
Yeah.
Some of us have gray hair.
Yeah.
Anyways.
You never heard of mud in the tire?
Sorry. So, what I would say to you, two's, as well as anyone listening, if that's something you want, putting out in the air is one thing, but actually posting it places would be the other thing.
Yeah.
They have a Facebook page. They have a Twitter.
Just doing the first step.
So, what I would say...
I'm sure they're locked down for this year.
I just have to nail down an actual ideal.
As we know of from the last few years, shit gets canceled all the time.
Yes, it does.
We're just on the ready to fill in.
So, we will be there. If you'd like to see us on stage being assholes like we are on the air...
But we'll clean it up.
Some of us will clean it up.
Joe probably won't.
Joe, wait,
Joe
dirty,
will not.
Dirty motherfucker.
Joe is the second worst person on this podcast.
Ooh.
Right behind Mike.
Moving up.
So, yeah, you're horrible.
Are you not counting yourself?
Oh, I'm the worst. I'm not even like, the ranking system is based on me. Like a bell curve is me. I'm like this, and then there's like you and then Joe. Mm. Joe's like, you're like always like this because you're fucking up both. You're like this. But I'm always like the constant, like I'm going to be the worst no matter what. I'm the person who gets kicked out of a satanic church. That's what I'm talking about. But...
I got kicked out of a Walmart once.
Not a shocker. You're too normal. Get out.
We'll save that story for another time.
I got kicked off the go-karts at Castles and Ghosters one time.
Why?
Because he doesn't fit in them?
You try to run over people?
He probably tried to use two like skates.
You can't try to spin people out. You're not...
I got spun out.
Got thrown out?
Yeah, weird, right?
Goddamn injustice.
Oh, I thought maybe you did like a... What's that
No
thing,
justice, no maneuver? Peace.
No, that's what happened to me.
Oh, someone pit maneuvered you?
Yeah.
Oh,
I went...
You're so lucky I wouldn't be there. I would be fucking little bitches. I'd be like, did you use pit maneuver, Joe? Did you? I get in their face, like spinning in their face. What the fuck's wrong with you? Just sock them all in the fucking...
By the way, I didn't think you could actually do that with those little go-karts that they have at Castle.
It's hard. I mean, the problem with the pit maneuver is you're supposed to hit the wheel, cause it to disrupt. Those have the thing around them.
Exactly.
So you just hit them enough where you'll disrupt what little traction those wheels actually have, causing the slide. I have been... it's not open anymore, but F1 that used to be
on
Bell Road.
Yep.
I was banned from there.
Yeah.
Because I hopped a car over the railing while drifting.
This is not Mario Kart.
You're welcome. Yeah, I tried to throw a shell at somebody, but it didn't hit him and it's got in the way.
Well, you gotta get the blue one.
Well, banana. I couldn't get it because banana. Someone else had it. You can only have one. Only one can be there. So if someone holds on to it like a little bitch, one else can get it.
You get it. You got a 10 second window.
It's horse shit. Some noob ass shit right there.
Or you get the red ones that rotate around you.
The homing ones.
They give you like a little bit of protection, or you can shoot them off.
That, then when you get to the front, people are like, oh, I'm going to shoot the person last place. No, motherfucker, shoot them behind you. Because then the further they get behind you, the more the headset
you know
what's
dope, too, is the trail of bananas.
Oh, yeah, because you can
like
drive in front of somebody.
And you can drag them.
Yeah, right in front of somebody.
And if you get good, when the road gets narrow, you can just lay them out.
And just...
So right there's no room for anybody to get through.
Or my favorite thing to do it right in front of boxes.
Yeah.
Because you'll
so
aim
if they
for the
want
box.
The box, they got it.
Oh, I'm going to get a box. Hit it. Oh, you sons of bitches.
Yep.
Good times.
Good times in Mario Kart. Those are pro tips, kids.
Pro tip.
So, yes. So, speaking of that, if that is something that any would like, I would implore you to then go on to social media and post it on there. Like, hey, check this show out. These guys are really funny. And that would do something.
They should mediate a panel.
So I'm just saying, we have people who listen to the show.
Technically, we can mediate three at one time because there's three of us. Although I think you get the full effect if we're all together.
If we're all together, yeah.
Pretty sure. No offense, Joe.
Nobody wants me by myself just sitting there
going, that's
going
to be really boring.
Yeah. So technically, we can mediate two at one time.
The theory
me
is...
and Cody with Joe would be fine.
Yeah.
Technically, it should be Cody and me, but we'll skip over the grammar lesson.
Grammar.
But yeah, so... if that is something that you want to see, invite the Phoenix Comic Con people to listen to the show and express your want for something like that. Because just us saying it doesn't do any good.
It's the first step. Does,
but what I'm saying is, if that's like Mike is floating the idea out there.
Journey of 1,000 miles is the first step.
Mike is floating a little air biscuit out there. And if you want that air biscuit to infect everybody's breathing, then let us...
Let us infect you is what we're trying. Help us infect the Phoenix Comic Con with all kind of comes naturally.
It's better than measles, from what I've heard.
You need less shots to fix us than you do any other STD.
We're not as fun as Disneyland, but at least you don't get measles.
That may not be true. The whole less shots thing may not be exactly true.
Okay, we're not going to get into what we're better than.
We're not going to give you measles.
Just plain.
Yeah. There you go.
Unless you ask for them.
And then I'll try to find them for you.
Yeah.
We can get them. I know people.
Okay, those are the people you don't want to know.
You want a toe, man? I can get you a toe, dude. I can get you a toe by the end
of the day. Just move the trash can, you stupid bitch.
Oh, you goddamn bitch. All right.
That's it, kids. That is it for this episode of Comes Naturally.
It was a fun one.
It was.
We are...
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody. And as usual, Internet, thanks for listening. And go fuck yourselves.
Outro song. Outro music. Outro song. Outro.